Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests will provide you with all kinds of advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, casting directors, telemanagers, screenwriters, novelists. I sound like an auctioneer. Anyway, the list goes on and on and on. And if they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on the show to give you entertainment career advice. So we also make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show that will be able to help you with your professional career questions. Now, you can listen to any of our past shows. As you know, I've been on the show for 8 years, 8 long years, and we've had a ton of people. So there's great advice, very sage advice on this show. And you can listen to all of them on our archive page, and that's on the latalkradio.com website. Just go to the Channel 1 link, and there's a drop-down box, and you just click on Question Reality, and this takes you directly to our archive page. And our shows are also available on iTunes under the podcast section and on Stitcher.com. So just go to those websites and type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest, you have to go to a whole different website. That is the official Question Reality website, and that is Question Reality Radio Show.com. Question Reality Radio Show.com. And we are currently, you know, we're always booked 6 months, sometimes to a year in advance, but right now about 6 months, and we're booking for January. So if you work professionally, you want to promote your projects, your book, your screenplay, anything that you want to promote, and also provide advice to our audience, of course, then go to questionrealityradioshow.com and submit, and we would love to have you, consider you to be on the show. Now, I also encourage you to download our free app for your Android or iPhone to be able to listen to all the other exciting shows. They're very informative. We cover so many topics. You feel like you're going a little crazy. Am I bipolar? Am I manic depressant? I don't know. I just keep taking these damn prescription pills. I don't know. There is a show for you that will help you out. You feeling like maybe a little flaccid in the morning? Well, we got a sexologist just around the corner. So go to the LA Talk Radio website, and there's a show for you. Barbecuing, even. They even teach you how to barbecue. I don't know what goes on in that show, but it's been on for 8 years, too, so it's got to be good. Again, latalkradio.com, and you can download the free app. Now, this guest today, she tried with all of her might to be on. I think it was August 16th. I can't remember the exact date. But boy, did we get so many emails that people were so upset she didn't come on. We had a little problem. I don't know. You know how the internet, it comes and goes. It's in, it's out. I don't know what happened, but we couldn't bring her on. But she was so gracious to come back. And she is here with us today. Real quick, she is the CSA award-winning casting director and producer, Christine Sheeks. Woo! Yeah, didn't think she was getting any applause today. She got the applause. You can check her out on IMDb. DB.com. She's on Twitter at Christine Sheeks, and that's S-H-E-A-K-S. And she's on Facebook under Indie Girl Consulting. And just a little bit about her. Christine Cheeks has been a casting director for over 20 years, and she began her film career as an associate to John Lyons, working on the Coen Brothers films, Barton Fink, Hudsucker Proxy, and Fargo. And when John became a producer, Christine's first feature as a casting director was A Walk in the Clouds with that hot, sexy Keanu Reeves, who I met in the Roxbury nightclub, and he wanted to do a little flirting. Not with me, unfortunately, but my friend Christine, not Christine Cheeks, Christine from Baltimore, followed by Boogie Nights, in which Christine won the Casting Society Awards, and why wouldn't she? Wasn't that great casting for that movie? Other casting projects include casting that other hottie, oh boy, Josh Hartnett, woo, in H2O, Deep Blue Sea with Samuel L. Jackson, The Mod Squad, Scary Movie, 13 Ghosts, Kevin Smith's Jay, and Silent Bob Strike Back, underclassmen with one of my absolute favorite hosts of all time, Nick Cannon. I love this man. I cannot figure out between Nick Cannon and Ryan Seacrest. I love both of them as hosts, but I gotta give a little bit more to Nick. I think he'd be a little bit more funky and kinky where it counts. So I'm gonna go Nick Cannon. I don't know what's wrong with Mariah. How would you let that little hottie go? And she has a ton more credits, so you can go to imdb.com to check it out. But let's just get her right on the line right now. Welcome, Christine.
No, thank you, Priscilla. Really, it's my honor to be with you today.
I'm so glad. I was like, will she come back? Oh, well, you know what? I know you came from Redondo Beach today. Mm-hmm. Down there, Lord knows what you were doing, partying, having a good time. So I appreciate you.
A little ocean.
I used to live, when I first moved here from the East Coast, I lived in Hermosa Beach. And we used to always go to Redondo. There was a club down there. We're talking in my early 20s. Right. So there was a club that was so much fun in Redondo, Manhattan Beach. Oh, it was just, I didn't even know the Hollywood life. I was just doing the beach scene back then. But thank you for coming, because I know once you get in Redondo, you don't want to come back up to this gritty, grimy city when you're looking at the beach, right?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sort of enjoying, half my time is in Los Angeles, and the other time is by the beach, and I just feel like I...
Now, do you have a home here and down at Redondo?
I'm actually going through a couple of programs for my personal life, religiously, actually.
Oh!
And so, yes.
So it's like a getaway, a resort.
Yeah, so actually a little time in Redondo lately has just been... trying
to... What the doctor ordered.
Just what the doctor ordered, yeah. But, yeah.
Now, we got so many questions from last time and then some from this time from everyone writing in. By the way, I am going to offer this. I know that actors are a little scared to talk to casting directors. Why? I don't know. But if you do want to call in and ask Christine a question, the number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And if you're listening to me now, it's right underneath the little box right there in the call-in number. So 323-203-0815. But I know you're probably scared, but don't be scared. She's so super nice and sweet. And she loves actors, as all casting directors do. But for some reason, actors are scared of them. I don't even know why. Okay, so let's start with you. Talk about you. Did you always want to be a casting director? When little Christine Cheeks was a little itty-bitty girl, what did she want to do?
Well, no, here's the thing. That, first of all, most people don't even know what a casting director is, and I certainly didn't. But I did fly out of the womb loving show business, and both my parents have said that. That I was obsessed with it. Even as a toddler, I would just watch the TV and go bananas, especially when music came on.
Yeah.
But I just was so obsessed growing up, but I just never thought I could get in. I mean, I didn't have anybody in my family in the entertainment business, but I'm telling you, I was obsessed. I would remember TV shows, films, the director, the actors. And so when I was about you know, mid to late 20s, I suddenly just snapped one day. I'm telling you, I was working just down the street from here, actually, in a business, and I realized that I wasn't happy. And I literally said to myself one night before I went to bed, I'm going to flip this. I'm whatever business I was running, I am not going to do this for one more second. I'm going to be in show business. I don't care what it takes. And then that's all there was to it.
What did you do? This is what I did.
And honestly,
without a gun, go postal?
No, but here, this is why I want to tell everybody. I really do believe that there's fate. And I think I just stepped into mine because I woke up the next morning and I said, if I'm going to go sweep floors for somebody because I don't really know that much about show business or what I want to do, all I just knew was that I loved it. I drove to 20th Century Fox that day. I drove by the guard and I waved at him with all my blonde hair. I didn't stop. He didn't come after me. And I found my favorite TV show. I mean, I must have looked it up. Where does Moonlighting with Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd, where does it film? So I must have found out that information. And I literally parked my car, went to the production office, knocked on their door, and the I think it was the line producer or the production manager had let me come in. And I acted like a dope. I said, you know, look, I love your show. I know the dialogue. All my friends and I, we watch it every week. And it was a replacement. It was a mid-season replacement. So it wasn't necessarily in its first full season, but it was like a cult thing that all of a sudden it caught fire that summer when ABC didn't have anything else to air. So they re-aired Moonlighting. Meanwhile, my friends and I had taped all the shows, and we truly knew every line because it was very Preston Sturges, snap, 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 right, between Maddie and David. It was very old-fashioned 1940s. And to make a long story short, I just so, you know, just appealed to her. Like, look, I know it's crazy. She said, do you have a resume with you? No. Do you know what you want to do? No. And I said, I'm telling you. Like, I'll sweep your floor. I don't care. But it has to, it's how I feel about men. If I love a man, anything goes. You know what I mean? I have to have that passion. Yeah. It's how I feel about projects, too. But anyways.
So what did she say?
She goes, honey, I don't have anything for you. All the jobs are taken. And she truly started introducing me to people saying, see, all the jobs are taken. I mean, that's how much she felt for me. And right before I was to leave and walk out the door, she turned around and said, wait a minute. Would you intern for one of our department heads? And I said, absolutely I will. Oh. She goes, our casting director just lost their intern and they have a policy. It was Reuben Cannon and Associates. Mm-hmm. Reuben used to be like just the man. I mean, he had shows all over town. And Karen Weiss was the lead casting director. And they said, look, Karen lost her intern. They'll train you how to be a casting assistant. And I almost burst into tears. And so 30 seconds later, she was ushering me to Karen's office. We spoke and she said, can you start the next day? I said, absolutely.
Oh my God, I can't believe
it. Changed my life. And I truly want to impart to people that whether you think there's a big picture or not, and believe me, this was one of the biggest markers of my life. Because I got in the car that day, I truly changed the course of my life. I would not be sitting here with you. So that was my first entree into the business. It was a dream come true. All of a sudden, I'm, you know, walking around the set with Bruce Willis. This is my favorite show.
Oh, that is unbelievable. Right. I have never heard a story like that.
But Priscilla, I'm telling you, though, that first day on the job, this is why I really do believe that sometimes we really just, if we're really open to it, we step into our destiny.
Yeah.
And that first day on the job, I knew nothing, right? And my boss yells out, hey, who was that actor again 3 years ago in that TV show? And I knew the answer. Hey, who was that? Who was that? Did you see that indie film recently? And blah, 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 blah. I have. Like, should we bring him in for this thing or what? And wow. I'm telling you, I went home that night and I just cried my guts out because it just wasn't an accident that everything I was interested in, everything, I had a really good memory. So that's why I remembered all the actors. I can't tell you. I really felt I was where I was supposed to be. And then my career has just, it took off. I was with the show for a couple of years, and then I got into films. What? And I've got a super duper story about that.
Oh my God, I want to hear that story. I guess that eliminates my second question. How'd you start your career as a cast director? Woo! I want to hear that story. Please come back to it. You got a good memory, so I'm counting on you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's about the Coen brothers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So how do you feel that the entertainment industry specifically with regard to actors has changed or evolved since you started in show business?
Oh, Priscilla, the entire business right now is in the biggest change since the talkies.
How so?
Because of technology. Like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I started, you know, do you remember the days where I would get mountains of pictures and resumes when we would release a breakdown, right? Mm. And so the agents would have to send over by messenger the, you know, the tape, pictures and resumes. Mm. Oh, you got to look at this guy. I mean, everything was sort of done the old-fashioned way.
Right.
And things have changed with technology so much, right? Everything's computerized.
Yeah, they do eco-casting now, which I think is a great idea. How do you feel about that?
I'm not sure I know what it is.
It's, well, they have it on Actors Access, and what they do is some of the casting directors offer the opportunity to actors, if you're with, was it ShowFax? If you sign up for Actors Access, you become a member of ShowFax. And then if they want you, if you submit to a project, they will send you, they'll say, hey, go get the sides on ShowFax and then make a tape. So you read your sides, you do the scene, you audition, you slate, you do the audition. Then you come back to Actors Access and you submit the video clip. And so they get to see you do the audition right there. And it saves you gas if you're a poor actor. And, you know, it's kind of good, I think.
Yeah, no. And look, I have to think about that a little bit because I am, as you can tell, like, you know, I like to just meet people, see people. And there are some times when you're moving so fast, and that's the other thing, the economy has affected the way that casting directors have done their job. Mm. I used to have like 12 weeks to leisurely meet people on a feature film and do this and do that, have a lot of generals. General meetings used to be the norm. They have so gone out the door because usually the production time is truncated, you know, from 12 weeks to 3 weeks. So that means you're looking at a lot of tape. You're making a lot of offers. I mean, it's fast and furious. If somebody's got really good tape, I'm telling you in 30 seconds. Like, I'll just sit in front of that computer. I will just, like, click, click, click. And if somebody is really interesting to me and I feel they're right for the part and they're good, bam. I'll have somebody set them up, like, literally.
What makes them interesting to you? Because if you ever see some actors' reels, it goes on for like 5 minutes. I'm like, what is going on? They have to put everything they've ever done. It's very important, is it not, to just get it within like 30 seconds, right?
Yes, but okay, look, it's twofold. It's part of like, what is your mojo? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Look, there are actors who have really good mojo and they can't act yet. Mm-hmm. And then there are actors who are really good technicians, but something just hasn't clicked in their personal life yet. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes, and this is what's beautiful, that we're dealing with human beings. We're not dealing with a piece of metal that never changes. I'm telling you that sometimes actors just shock you. 2 years down the line, you run into them and they're just different. Because life happened to them. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
Like either you've grown up a little bit or you're more self-confident or you've owned whatever your, you know, juju is. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And look, I equate good casting to almost the way, like when you walk into a party and like somebody just turns your head and you go, wow. Do you know what
I
mean?
Right, right.
No,
oh, yeah,
it's a feeling in your patootie.
Yeah, it's feelings all over your patootie.
Absolutely. and look, right, it doesn't matter if somebody, you know, look, if somebody doesn't have the talent to back it up, when it really comes down to brass tacks, next.
I want to ask you, I have come across, because, you know, I produce films, feature films, short films, music videos. And I've come across in the casting process, sometimes actors do a really good job auditioning. But when you get them on the set, it's like they completely change. Mm-hmm. And they're not the actor that they were in the audition.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing, though. Like, you cannot predict it. No, that's the whole thing. It's like, I cannot tell you how many times, and I consider myself pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, but there's been times when, you know, I've taped somebody and I'm looking through the viewfinder and then I put in, it looks pretty good. And then you slip it into the, you know, the monitor and you go, oh, that's a little different. But I think that life is like, do you see what I mean? We're dealing with human beings. It's not a black and white thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's why, look, Priscilla, it doesn't happen a lot. It's only happened a couple of times in my career where somebody came in, auditioned really, really well, or they just came off a really, really good movie, and then they get to the set, and you're like, what the heck happened? But it's rare.
And vice versa. There are some people who cannot
audition
yeah, but you true. Put them on the set and they'll act their ass off.
No, absolutely. But you know who's one of the best auditioners, and obviously he doesn't have to audition anymore, is William H. Macy.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I would think that would
yeah.
be true.
No, the great thing is that he just kind of considered it, you know, hey, this is what I do for a living. I'm going to, you know, show you what I got, and nice meeting you. And if he thinks it's his, and he'll get that phone call. But when I worked on, I was the casting associate for Fargo. And he came in red.
Like, because it's coming back out.
Feature film. I know. And so he just came in red like 4 or 5 times. And because he wasn't a star. So we had to kind of think about it. But I want you to know that almost every star in town read. But we kept looking at each other like, should we do this? Because he was so good.
Yes.
But, you know, when you're casting, you're also kind of got a bit of a producer hat on. You have to kind of think of all scenarios.
Right.
Like, what, you know, what is he going to bring box office? And sometimes just hiring the right person. But at the same time, actors truly do mean something in a monetary value. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you just have to look at it that way.
Yes.
So I feel like it's like a puzzle. If I have somebody to the left who doesn't mean anything, I can maybe balance it out by somebody to the right who does mean a little bit of something.
Yes.
It truly is a puzzle.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because when I asked you that original question about how things have changed in regard to actors over the years, tell us how important it is, as you were saying, you were balancing it, because they almost kind of want you to come with a package deal. Like, they want you to have a following on Facebook and a following on Twitter. And I have friends that work at distribution companies, and my friend said, you know, I'll be honest with you, Priscilla, when we're sitting around considering something, we say, okay, how many followers does she have on Twitter? How many followers? They want to
For what
have
kind
the,
of project?
For feature films or for shorts or when they go to the festivals. They want to, if they're thinking of picking up someone to distribute, they want you to be packaged and have a following, because they want that built-in fan base. So how important is it also, you know, when you're considering casting?
Let's address that, because I don't know, did you guys read that article that was just all over the internet? I think it was from South by Southwest. A couple of people had given an interview about how truly it's 95% your Twitter value and 5% acting. And I just thought,
it's terrible.
No. But see, I don't believe it's true whatsoever. Really? I've done studio movies. I've done indie movies for the last 7 years, predominantly. I've done a little of everything. And believe me, you kind of look at everything, but the bottom line is, if they're not good, that project's going to go straight into the toilet. And I dare any distributor or anybody to tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? You just can't hire a piece of sugar who's got 200,000 or 2 million followers.
Yeah.
But I try to do both. Do you know what I mean? Is there somebody who's right for the part, who's really good, who I call it stacking the deck? That's what I call it. It may not be Twitter or it could be, but most likely it's, I always look at what project did they just come from? Are they coming off two hot movies? Or maybe are we going to present somebody if I just have a feeling that this person is going to pop?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Look what happened to Bill Macy. And by the way, this comes to another topic that, look at, he wasn't no spring chicken.
He wasn't this
20-year-old Brad Pitt. He was a guy who really worked on his craft with David Mamet at the Atlantic Theater Company. He was, you know, everybody knew Bill Macy. This is when I lived in New York City. And by the time, you know, he had to be like, you know, mid-30s or something by that time, mid to late, when he hit us with Fargo. And he was the right person for the job, and it changed his life.
He's very special. I want to ask you, when you're looking at submission tape, you had said that you're looking for something interesting. First of all, how long does it take you to find that? And what to you do you think is interesting? Should they submit something? If it's just a submission, should they submit something funny or something dramatic first?
No, it really does depend on what the project is. If I'm looking for somebody, you know, who's, it's a dramatic role, then I do try to look for dramatic tape. But I have to admit, like, I'm like so open that even if I do find somebody who's you know, oh, Christine, I want to be considered for a, you know, a dramatic role, but all I got is comedy tape. Believe me, if I think you're good and you move me, and I'm telling you, it's that thing that you cannot name. Mm-hmm. When you go home at night and you're still when you're moved by,
yes,
you know, the way that somebody read something and you can't get it off your mind.
Right.
That's that thing.
That thing.
Yeah, and when it converges with the right part, just like Bill Macy did.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights.
God, he is something else.
He's a cutie. He's a cutie.
He's sexy. I can't believe it. And he just really keeps his body banging. And he's like getting, well, maybe in his 30s now. But he looks good.
Okay, I think
really
he's
good.
A little older
or
than
maybe
30.
Well, all right, well, he looks
good. But he's going to love, he should send you a present. Because he's going to love
so
that you.
Hot.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy.
I also love his brother, Donnie Wahlberg, who, one of my favorites.
By the way, he's really good in Blue Bloods. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's really good in Bed. I was like, oh, Christine, that's too much.
No,
we're going to get sued over here.
Y'all need to call Jenny McCarthy for that information. And by the way, she's a great girl, too. I've cast her before. Great girl.
But Mark, he just seems very real, very down to earth.
Yeah.
I like
No, but look,
East Coast
he's
energy.
Become a, you know, truly a conglomerate. I mean, he's got so many shows. You know, he became a huge producer with his manager. He's done really,
that's a, they're
really
a talented family. I mean, Donnie is a and I don't know the history of them. I know they were just like good old boys from Massachusetts, and they were, you know,
they
like,
were scrappy boys.
They were scrappy. They were all getting in fights and hanging out. So I don't think that they had prior acting experience.
No, the music came first.
What was he in, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, Donnie? It was in one of those. It was a boy band.
But mine's gonna play for a second. Sorry, Donnie.
And we know Mark was all up in the Calvin Kleins. We know those ads. But I think that that is just so inspirational to so many people who are actors, and they think, "Oh God, I don't have money for acting classes. I don't have, because it's expensive, Christine. It gets expensive.
Oh,
these acting classes and headshots. So there's still some hope.
No,
you know?
Absolutely. Let's talk about workshops. You know, in a second.
Yeah.
But I wanted. Really hit home. I don't care if you're 90 or you're 20.
Yeah.
If you just work on your craft, and you have to be good. It just can't be about a look, because oftentimes somebody will get a job because of their look. But if they're not bringing it, I'm telling you, word just gets out. Plus, everything is visual, right? If somebody's not good, it's not good.
Right.
I've seen bad performances. You know, hopefully not in my movie. And you know, in other things, just kill something. Do you know what I mean?
What are, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, I had a casting director on a while back, and he was very straightforward, no sugarcoating it. I asked him a question, which I actually want to ask you, what are realistically a person's chances, a person meaning an actor, who, as you said, you had your cracking point at 20, you're like, you know, take this job and shove it, I'm going to pursue a career. Okay, so what are a person's chances making it as an actor if they're just deciding to start their career and they're over 40, male or female?
No, look, I think it's harder on females. Because I've got a lot of really talented girlfriends who are in their 40s, and either they took a little time off to have a baby or whatever happened. I'm telling you, it's tough on them. But I believe that everybody's got a life journey, and everybody's journey isn't exactly the same. And if you give up, well, then I don't know what to tell you. If you truly feel like, I can't live without doing this, look, the agents... I don't know if they'll tell you the truth or not, but yeah, they're making money off the 25-year-old cute boys. And some of the we're in the age of character actors, which I love.
Yes.
I love now. It wasn't this way 10, 15 years ago. You know, they kept saying to me, oh, Phil Hoffman can't be on a, you know, the lead in a movie or on the cover of a magazine. Well, that changed, and he certainly was. So the character actor sort of came to the forefront, and we got away from that, which is really, really good. No matter how, I know.
Melissa McCarthy, the fluffy actress, being a fluffy person. A fluffy. I'm like, go, Melissa, represent for us fluffies out there. Get it, girl.
No, absolutely. No, but no matter what you look like. No, look, June Squibb. June Squibb had been doing theater forever. And then she gets that call to do the movie with Bruce Dern. And she gets nominated for an Academy Award.
Right.
Do you see what I mean? Like, everybody's journey is different. Yeah, you have to try. Don't give up. But look, whatever is your life journey.
Yeah.
You know, if you do give up, then obviously either.
You just have to be realistic. I mean, you're not going to have any ingenue parts. But, you know, there was a lady, I can't remember her name, but she was on ER. And I think she was, again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think she was a nurse and she quit her job. She was like 37. And she got a part on ER, the African-American lady. I can't remember her name. I'm sorry. But there are so many stories about people who... end up getting parts. I mean, you can dream Golden Girls.
Steve Buscemi was a fireman.
Yes.
I mean, truly. Was. Yeah. You know, and when he started to act, he would still, you know, go right back to the firehouse.
Until, yes.
You know, he was doing so well.
And, you know, and also actors who used to act and then they stopped to start a family or for whatever reason do something else and they were a little hesitant about getting back into it. I just had a wonderful story of inspiration. I'm taking a sitcom career class from very dear friend Mary Lou Belli, 2-time Emmy Award winning director, and she brings in guests every week. And I nearly died yesterday at class. She brings in this lady and I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, oh my God, she looks so familiar. Where do I know her? But she was considerably older. And when she introduced herself and she said, well, I'm best known for, and then it turns out to be Greece, Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Donald, is it Jamie Donnelly?
Dee Dee?
Not Dee Dee. The one who went, Russia. Donnelly. Oh, my God. I cannot believe I could. I forgot her name, and I'm so sorry. But she was talking about how she used to obviously did Grease, and she did a ton of other stuff. And then she started a family, and now she's back. She just got cast in Black Mass with Johnny Depp.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, I met Johnny Depp. So, you know, I had to tell him a Johnny Depp story, how I met him in Crybaby. And we had, like, a nice bonding session. But she was so inspirational because she's back, and she landed a part.
No, but you have seen it. Look, when you stay in this business long enough, you see people. I am telling you, right? Look how far the wheel has happened. Like Miramax, all those guys who were like the biggest distributors when I first started casting, you know, things have shifted in this business. Do you know what I mean? I'm telling even the actors.
Yeah.
You know, look, eventually even Harrison Ford has a hard time. I am telling you that at your highest peak, there's only one way to, you know, to go from there. And it's human nature. It's the wheel.
Yeah.
It's the, you know what I mean? Whatever you want to call it, it's so hard to stay on top. I think that Tom Hanks is one of the few guys who's been able to do it.
Yeah.
But
you got to constantly reinvent yourself.
Yeah, but there
right?
are ebbs and flows. Like, honestly, your career could be dead and you could end up being so famous 5 years later. Mm-hmm. You just have to kind of live life, I think. Keep doing what you're doing. But I do want to address social media because that is one of the biggest ways in which things have changed. Look, the studios lately, I don't know if you've heard, but they're all clean in-house. They're bringing in social media experts. I produced a movie last year with a bunch of other people. It's called Married Young, and we're bringing on a social media expert, Sydney Ricklin. And he's schooling us. Like, I was obviously pretty hip. I write a blog on Facebook, but I wasn't really on Twitter, Instagram. So he kicked my tushy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
But
yes.
All actors, I really, again, it's not, you can't do it with nothing behind it. You can't just go, oh, well, I think I'm going to start to take my first acting class and I'm going to get on Twitter. But the thing is, here's the number one change, right?
Yeah.
From 10, 15 years ago. They're definitely, we were high up on the hill as casting directors, and we definitely kept a fence up, right? It was definitely, you know, we were set back a little bit, right?
You were all up on Mount Sinai back then.
Well,
right?
Ironically, that's why I'm in Los Angeles, because I am on Mount Sinai, actually. I'm converting to Judaism. But the thing is that even I realized in the last few years, right, that we're all in the same canoe now. Before there was that sort of partition between us, right?
Right.
Where you didn't show up at a casting director's office, you didn't do this, this, and this. I'm telling you, we casting directors, because the business has changed so much, half of them are out of a job. Half the studio work is gone. Like, things have completely changed. So that means that I'm doing the same thing that actors are doing. And if anyone tries to tell you different, I think they're not in the same business as I am.
Wow.
It means that we got to push ourselves. We casting directors, we producers, whatever your thing is. Now, I started to write a couple of years ago. I'm doing things that actors are doing. And I actually had to push myself, but it really made me empathize with what actors have gone through their whole careers.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, it's empowering when I'm just cold emailing people, I'm cold Facebooking people, hey, look at my blog, or hey, I really want to, you know, show you a script that I think is really special. We're all, it's a level playing field.
It's humbling, isn't it?
It is humbling.
Because you went from the big time to...
Yeah, no. But see, this is what I'm saying. That eventually, look, when I was doing studio movies back to back to back, I was on a roll there for a while. But like I said, I kind of got off the train because I wanted more of a personal life.
Yeah.
And I went into indies, which were always my first love anyway.
Mm.
But there's a whole different thing. There's no money in indies. And look what happened. The economy sort of sank a lot of distributors for indies. But I'm here to tell you, they are going to come back up. But in this transition, in which we're going digital, the studios are changing, I do think it's forcing filmmakers, directors, producers, how can we really be creative, knock people's socks off for little money? So people are having to dig deep. You just can't throw a little, you know, something on it and going, oh, hey, it'll make money. No, you got to really be different. Like, do you know what I mean? You
got to.
Gone are they, oh, hey, I'll spend a couple $1,000,000. And if it does, you know, well, that's just great. And I'll just put a little effort into it. Look, there's so much product out there. This is what cable has done.
Mm-hmm.
With the explosion of cable,
right.
I can't even keep the network straight.
No.
Right?
No.
But what's rising to the top, and I really want to stress this, is about being a good actor and working on your craft. Just keep working on yourself and being good, because cream always rises to the top. Okay, so whether you're an indie, whether you're a feature, you know, a big studio feature film, good is good. Look at Straight Outta Compton. It broke all the rules,
I know.
Right? Usually
Love
studio
it.
Movies are not that edgy. They took a lot of chances. There was just so much surrounding it.
Mm.
But it's a well made film.
Yes.
The acting is superb. Vicki Thomas and Cindy Tolan did a fabulous job, but it's a well-made movie.
It is.
Do you see what I mean?
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Very inspiring.
They didn't spend $75 million on it.
No.
And it's blowing
through the roof. And with technology these days, it's ridiculous that the studios have to spend all that money. I don't understand.
But it's the But I'll tell you, it's the nature of studios. And believe me, I love a good studio movie. I do. I worked on a $100 million Deep Blue Sea.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just this thing about studios. And you know, I think they're learning a little bit.
Be learning.
You just can't keep throwing money at a problem, which, by the way, is like Studio Creed 101. You know, I think...
Let me tell you. I had Eileen Gruba and Carmen Argenziano. Remember Stargate,
yes.
SG-1, Selmac? And they brought a director. They had just been on an independent film called Aurora. This boy is how old? 18 years old. And you should see the trailer for his two movies. He started directing at 10. And at 12, he won his first award. He's from Switzerland. And I looked at these two trailers, The Rift and Aurora, and this boy put this CGI in there. It looked like a studio movie. And kids these days, they start right away on computers. This is the world.
They know
how to do CGI by the time they're five.
But the thing is that you got to push the boundaries and do something different. On this little indie that I produced called Married Young, the director has been, you know, he's done 300 commercials. We only had money for like a 17-day shoot. But I'm telling you, you know, there's an animated character in our film. And there was just some things that once we got it up on its feet that he had to figure out creatively with no money. And Danny Kaufman figured it out. You know, it forced him to truly think outside the box. I mean, he came up with stuff that I was just like so surprised at.
This boy,
creatively.
This boy, Robert Kuba, shy, unassuming, you know, sweet as anything, 6.5 million views on just his trailers. So this is impressive because we're
run
by...
And he did it on the cheap, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I am not going to discuss his budget, but it was... I could not believe it. It was amazing.
And by the way, social media, again.
Social media.
Like, and the other thing that I'm learning, too, as a producer, is that, look, there's a good side and a bad side to this, but we have to act like studios. We have to come up with copy that's really going to just, as a hook, to really just get your attention. Yeah. We have to come up with a campaign.
Right.
And by the way, Doug Ellen from Entourage.
Yeah.
He's on my Facebook, and I was so impressed with him because here he had a major studio behind him, and he was on Facebook every day posting stuff.
Oh. I love that.
Do you see what I mean? This is why I'm trying to tell you that it really is a level open playing field. Even if you have a studio, you kind of have to roll up your sleeves and don't pass the buck.
No.
Just don't, oh, hey, great. Yeah. I'll just take that check and good luck with it.
Right.
No, you are fighting for your life.
Yeah.
You wanted to get it out there. And I think that every actor should be on social media.
Absolutely.
Gone are the days. That you just hope that, oh, somebody's gonna see me.
Yeah. What can an actor do to make their audition memorable, in your opinion?
Two things. Really know your craft.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm casting leads in feature films, I'm telling you, it's the people who really spent some time with the material. Like, that impresses a director more than anything. There have been times when people have walked in, been a little off their game or whatever, and if somebody's really special, we'll take them aside and go, okay, we're going to give another shot. Usually that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
If we really see something that is just really, you know, special.
Good choice.
But I'll tell you, there's plenty of actors in my career who, like, really spent time and knew the sides. You always have the sides, by the way, in your lap. Don't, even if you know it verbatim, you always have it in your lap just in case.
That's what Mary Lou said. I just learned
that. Yes, invariably something happens.
Ah,
right?
Yes.
Yeah,
don't
absolutely.
Ever be too confident.
But it shows the director, wow, like you really like this material. You spent some time with it. And I am telling you, I've looked at an actor again if they really impress me that way.
What are some overall casting director pet peeves about actors at an audition?
Well, you know, I was at a showcase, and I told this funny story that props are the number one no-no. The only prop acceptable is a cell phone. But I'm moonlighting. I just would tell this story that a guy came in and, you know, there was a scene between Dave and Maddie, right? And all of a sudden, he starts reading and he grabs the producer out of his chair and threw him against the wall and took his toy gun out of his jacket and put it up, you know, against his head, his temple. We about read it.
What?
We had a heart
Bruce
attack.
Willis
and
did that?
By the way, no.
Or no,
it was
an actor okay.
auditioning for the show for an episodic, yeah. And so I'm telling you, though, to this day, I remember it like it was yesterday. Like, you first of all, you never touch a producer. He truly, like grabbed him by, like, the collar, threw him up against the wall, like, frisked him. Like, what? I mean, it just could, like, when I, that,
oh
I probably never forgot it either.
Do we hear this actor's name anywhere today, or you've never heard it again?
No.
He's in an insane asylum
right now. No, honestly, I would never bring him back, seriously.
Yeah.
Unless he was like Al Pacino or something.
Yeah.
But you just don't do it.
He went real method.
But I'll tell you why, though. Because everything then is about that prop and the action. I'm more impressed if somebody can just come in. If you can do the dialogue while sitting in a chair.
Right.
And like if you have me grabbing a hanky or something because your reading was so good sitting in a chair.
Yes.
I'm telling you, nothing impresses us more.
Whoa. Oh, that's the 5-minute warning. Let's get some good questions in there. Now, starting out in a career as an actor, for most people, it's financially challenging, as we were talking. What advice can you give an actor? They're trying to supplement their income. They need headshots. They need acting classes. They need this and that and this and that. What do you...
Now, look, workshops are really important. And there's a really big debate, and there has been for several years. The people don't realize that we have so little time. We have so little time that if I'm going to be grabbed out and I'm going to actually teach a class, like, I think that the actors need to do it because of how the business has changed.
Yes.
And I completely empathize that it is expensive, but I'm telling you,
it's worth the investment.
It's changed so much that if you keep going to workshops and pick casting directors that you admire.
Yes.
That's how you pick a workshop.
Yes.
I tell my actor friends, well, what shows do you love so much and you would give your right arm for? You go find out who those casting directors are. I'm telling you, in my entire career, every time I've said, who do I want to work with? I've ended up working with them.
Yes. And how else? I mean, these casting workshops, this is how you get in front of casting directors. I mean, they're not going to hire you. They got to do that. What is that statement they got to do that this is not a job?
Yeah, this is not.
By law, they have to do that.
Yeah.
But, and you know, and they're not there to hire you. But they will remember you if you do a good job and you might get called in. So workshops, for sure.
No,
and are you teaching workshops? Are you doing
workshops? I just really believe in.
Are you teaching? I mean, are you
I'm
going
not in some
to,
place specifically, but I get called. Calls all the time just to do, you know, workshops. But I believe once you got me,
just go there.
Let's just go over everything in your life. But my number one thing, pictures and resumes. Okay. So first of all, I'm trying to bring back black and white pictures.
Oh my God. Oh, I love this woman. I just converted from the black and white from pressure and to put on that wall over there. I'm like, I like my black and white. They're like, we need a color.
Well, no, look, having a color is a good thing.
Yeah.
Truly.
I know.
No, but the thing is that we've homogenized pictures and resumes. Mm. I cannot tell you that 9 out of 10 pictures that I see across my desk, who are you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, not every hair has to be in place. And believe me, I sympathize with the agents.
They
I want you
Photoshop
to know
that
listen to your agent, but you should be working with your agent. I do believe, though, that we've homogenized things so much that a lot of theatrical pictures just kind of look like a bad commercial picture.
Yeah.
That we've washed everybody out. And I do believe that people used to, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, used to take black and white photos of actors where they could be printed in magazines.
Mm,
so I'm trying to bring, it's a 1-2 punch. I'm trying to bring back the art of black and white photography.
Yes.
Along with really showcasing an actor's, you know, essence. Who are you?
That's
if you
right.
walk around, you know, with a hat on all the time and you look so darn cute, I want to eat you up, mm-hmm. then take a picture with your hat on.
Yeah.
Or do you know what I mean?
It's you.
Not everything has to be so exposed.
Oh, God,
stage.
We don't want to see your eyes popping emerald green from across the room.
No, but the biggest thing I see is...
You know those damn things are contact lenses.
Absolutely, but I see this every day. Black t-shirt, black background, lettering, and I'm just like...
And you know that? That's not right, because a photographer, if you're paying them, they should know, enough about the acting. And they don't. They just take your money and that's it.
But besides your name, your picture is one of the most important things,
yes,
along with your training.
So start an envelope and save for a good photographer. Don't go with a $150 photographer. I want to hear the Coen brothers story before we leave.
But here's the thing, that after I got off moonlighting, I was a little depressed. I, you know, that show was like family to me. What am I going to do? And so I got a call from HBO. My best friend, Kim Williams, called me and said, hey.
She cast for Charmed.
Yep.
I talked to her one time. Charmed.
No, not Charmed, but she
Kim Foster. Somebody Charmed. Okay.
Okay. No, Kim Williams. She's terrific.
Okay.
But anyways, she called and said, I have some New York casting directors in town, and they want an assistant for, you know, a month or two. I said, I'm not being a casting assistant. I was one for 4 years. I'm going to be an associate. I'm going the next year.
You were on
the
side.
And I'm becoming a casting director, darn it. I got a call every day. She goes, please just be their assistant. They want somebody who really knows LA actors.
Right.
I kept saying no.
The Coen brothers. You were turning down the Coen brothers.
I tipped it off. What happened was, I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not being an assistant. Meanwhile, I had sent my resume to the Coen brothers a couple of months before, right? Never heard back from them. But finally, my girlfriend just says, you've got to work for these people. And one of them was John Lyons and Donna Isaacson, right? They were a casting duo at the time. So I go in there, and I'm there an hour, and I realize that they are the casting directors for Joel and Ethan Coen. So here I was at home going, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. And then when I finally said, okay, I'll meet them. And that changed my life.
Obviously.
I ended up moving to New York to work for them for a long time.
Before we go, what exciting projects are you working on now? What are you doing?
Well, I'm in post-production with, I would say it's one of the most important movies of my entire career. This has been like a baby to me. It's a feature film called Married Young. We're about to roll out a lot of social media about it as we submit to the festivals. But it's about relationships, picking your battles. It's a very universal theme. It's extremely funny. It's funny, but it's
deep. I like
funny. No, absolutely. It's about, you know, life and being mature in relationships and being responsible and grown up.
Being grown up. We all want to be grown up at least one time. We have run out of time, and I'm getting a signal. I'm getting the evil eye, the Greek evil eye back there. So let's, we are going to wrap up. Thank you so much, Chrissy. Promise me you're coming back.
Oh, for sure I will.
Will you?
No, thank you so much for inviting me.
You're so much fun. I like you.
Really.
Are you Irish?
No.
Darn it. Did you see the way she said no? I'm going to get her outside. I'm going to meet her after school.
With his blonde hair and blue eyes, you think I'm Irish?
Well,
German girl.
German, okay. Well, thank you so much, Christine, for being on the show. We hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to have Christine Sheeks back in January, February. Woo! And say goodbye to your fans.
No, thank you so much for listening in.
Thank you, honeys, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.